That's the hope for every believer here, is the resurrection of Christ. Thank you so much. That was tremendous this morning, very rich. Nothing shallow with any of that. Thank you so much. Good to see. Where's Daniel? We lost Daniel McCoy. He's on. Where's Daniel? There he is. No. Okay. Why don't you all sit in Daniel's stand just for a moment? Some of you know Daniel. He's from Nephi, Utah. His family has really played a significant role out there. We have missionaries, the South family. So if you know Keith South, they've been a part of their work there. And Daniel's been instrumental in the ministry there at Camp Utipica. So great to have you here and all of your friends. What I like about Faith is if you notice where most of the kids are from, they're from this region of the country, and a good majority of them will probably stay out here. And we'll keep the little lady from Maine as well, for sure. So thank you so much. Thank you, Daniel. Great to have you. Again, good to have the Rowland family with us. It wouldn't take much for them to move out here. Dave, would you just raise your hand for a moment here? Vinegar-based barbecue, how's that sound? That's a kind of North Carolina treat. And we're thrilled to have you here. We'd love to have you in the will of God in the West. We're personally indebted to the Rowlands. They're friends of ours. They've always been so loyal to us and been great partners in the ministry. And just a delight to have you here all the way from Clemson. And also during some of the recent years of transitions, it was families like the Rowland family that really didn't quit, didn't leave, and just held the fort and prayed in Dr. Brent Cook to be their pastor. And the church is stable, moving forward, and doing a great work. But when it's all said and done, it's been people like the Rowlands that just were faithful. And we appreciate that. You mean a lot to us. Good to have you this morning. Just a few moments here on the theme of redemption. What I am going to do is nothing original. I stole the outline from our guests this morning. And so I thought, wow, that's real simple. That's an easy start for a sermon. They have a good outline. Let's just work with it. And then I worked through all the verses in the Bible with the theme of redemption. And then I took all those verses and then I tried to compact them under each of the headings of the outline that was given. So this could be a rather lengthy message. In the Old Testament, there are 150 times where you have one form or another used, 19 different Hebrew words. In our King James, you'll find the words redemption, redeem, redeemed, redeeming, ransom, or ransomed, or redeemer. And maybe a challenge for our musical team, for you, especially now in the summer, to keep things fresh, to meditate on these words, do some word studies and run these verses down. It's a very, very rich study, and I'll just do a brief sampling in just a moment. In the New Testament, you have all the same words, basically, with the exception of the title Redeemer. You will not find that in the New Testament. So it's neat to look at all these verses. You have 33 different words in the New Testament, reflecting 13 different Greek words. So when you go from the Old and add the New Testament on this topic, you have 183 variations of the word redeem or redemption, representing some 32 different words. So how does that look from an outline viewpoint? I love what they started with the topic of redemption planned. One of my favorite passages that my wife and I share is Luke chapter 24. Christ has been crucified. It was, from a human viewpoint, a disastrous day. And you have now couples going home from the Passover feast. You have this couple walking home on the road to Emmaus. They're devastated. This Jesus of Nazareth, they really thought he was the one that was going to deliver them. Probably when it comes to the topic of redemption, their viewpoint was probably national or political redemption. And they were familiar enough with the Old Testament that God had a big plan for Israel, that the Messiah would come and deliver them in one form or another. And so their view of the plan was limited. They were on the right topic. They just needed a little bit more details. And so as they're walking, the Lord Jesus comes alongside of them in his resurrected form, and they don't know who he is yet. And he kind of draws them into a conversation, and they say, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought he was the one who was going to bring redemption. We thought he had drawn it nigh. And then he said, and beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Now, this is really sad. We thought he was the one, but he died. And now this is the third day. It's amazing how many times the Lord Jesus said he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day be resurrected from the grave. This is the resurrection day, and Jesus has appeared to them. They just didn't understand fully the plan. They didn't realize that God's plan included Jesus giving himself that he might redeem us, not just from political powers like Rome, but to redeem us from all iniquity and purify into himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is the part of the plan they didn't get initially. Paul didn't get it, or Saul didn't get it. But later, as he was converted to Christ, he would articulate these great themes on redemption. He began to understand the plan. Under inspiration, writes these words in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 5. The Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? By being made a curse for us. For it is written in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This was part of the big plan they didn't get. They didn't realize when Jesus was hanging on the cross, they associated that with being accursed from God or by God. They didn't realize that was exactly the plan of God, for him to become a sin offering, to become sin, to become a curse, so that we could be freed from the curse itself. What an incredible plan. What an incredible plan when the Lord opens our eyes and we begin to understand that God's desire is to redeem us, to buy us back, to restore us to a fellowship with him. Redemption planned. Secondly, our group provided another point in this outline. Redemption's price. How are we redeemed? We see in that previous text, it's through a person, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. We see many passages throughout the Bible where it stresses that we cannot save ourselves. It's not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his grace, his mercy, that he saves people. Here in the Psalm 49, verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. Indeed, that's true, and it ceaseth forever. The point is this. The psalmist recognizes our plight, that we need to be redeemed, we need to be restored, we need to be saved and salvaged by God. And in this text, the psalmist acknowledges, we can't do this for one another. I wish I could redeem you. I wish I could open up my wallet for any person here that knows not Christ and put a ransom down, some money down, a payment down, and through that payment see your soul delivered. But that's not how it works. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. We can't do that for one another. There is a price, however, that has to be paid for us to be redeemed. The scriptures couldn't be any clearer as to the price. The author of Hebrews says it was neither by the blood of goats or calves, but this redemption's price, it was through his own blood, the blood of Jesus, where he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The price that was paid for us to be restored to God, to be saved from sins, to be given eternal life, was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both the Old and New Testament magnifies the necessity of blood to redeem lost sinners. Peter says it quite clearly in this text, 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redemption's price was the precious blood of Christ. It's no other way. I can't redeem you through gold or through silver or through other means. When you think of the topic of redemption, often it's in the context in the word studies here, both old and new, is where someone has lost something, or someone has been taken captive, and there needed to be a ransom to be paid, or something that needed to be redeemed out of the pawn shop, you could say, to be brought back into a proper relationship with the original owner. With our family, we didn't go to the pawn shop very often. I've only been to the pawn shop, I think, twice to actually sell something when we were in desperation. But the things you usually take to the pawn shop and you get maybe some cash from it, you have a little bit of time to redeem that before they sell it or get rid of it. We have just a little bit of time between birth and death. And for each of us, we don't know how long that is. But during that time period, we need to be bought back. We need to be redeemed out of the pawn shop of sin. In our family, we had a very sad story when it came to a pawn shop episode. There were times in our family's background where things were really tight financially. And so my folks had several items they could pawn off. One was a gold chain. This gold chain was wrapped around the swan-like neck of Mrs. Johnson. Her husband was Colonel Johnson. They were both invited to a very special occasion called an inaugural ball for a president. And so they were going to attend the inaugural ball of President Abraham Lincoln. She dressed in her very best garb, and included in that was a golden chain. When she died, that chain would be passed down to a George Anderson Cook. When he died, that chain that was worn at the inaugural address and ball for President Lincoln was then passed down to a James Francis Cook. When he died, those chains were passed down to a Sherman Cook. And when Sherman Cook, those chains were passed down to my mom. And they needed money, so they chose to sell or to go to a pawn shop and sell the chains. They got a little bit of cash. With the hope that within the 30 day or whatever the limit was, that they would have some money come in and they could go back and redeem those significant chains, at least for our family. And sadly, the time came and there were not enough funds to redeem the chains that Mrs. Johnson wore at President Lincoln's inaugural. What is more important than golden chains is your soul. And the only way your soul can be redeemed is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That is indeed redemption's price. In whom we have redemption. How? Through His blood, which leads to the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Colossians 1:14 repeats those themes. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Indeed, the Bible couldn't be any clearer that there was a ransom that is necessary to be paid for us to be saved, to be salvaged. For our guests who are not familiar with Colorado, probably the most known murder case in the history of the state took place in 1996 on Christmas in Boulder. Many of you know the story of little John Benet Ramsey. The parents called the police. A lot of details, but when they called, they said, "Our daughter is missing. We cannot find her. But we have found a ransom letter, 2.5 pages. And there's a ransom note. If we are to receive our daughter back alive, we need to make the payment of $118,000. It's an interesting note. It came from paper from the house. Later, they would do some handwriting analysis. It wasn't the father's handwriting, but it could have been the mother's. Regardless, there was a ransom note. Sadly, before any ransom could be paid, they found her little body dead in the basement in Boulder. Some of you have driven by her house. There was a ransom that was needed to save her, hypothetically, and yet she was already dead. There is a ransom for our souls. The only way we can be saved, delivered, and given life is through the precious blood of Christ. That was the ransom price that had to be paid, and Jesus paid it, and He paid it in full. Redemption's price. This great message of redemption needs to be proclaimed. I love these complementary or corollary texts in the New Testament. Redeeming the time, why? Because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Without Christ, without the family of God, redeeming the time. It's amazing if we understand the great price that was paid for redemption, and we are then constrained by the love of God, then it's our desire to proclaim the good news that Jesus saves, and He is our Redeemer. What I see in these two passages is that we need to be consumed with our time and our priorities around the person of Christ and proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus, especially redeeming time and redemptive work in the sense of preaching redemption in Christ and the free gift of salvation. If we understand redemption, it needs to be proclaimed. Likely in the very near future, you're going to have two witnesses proclaiming redemption in Jerusalem. Likely those two witnesses will lead to the conversion of 144,000 Jews will be converted to Jesus. And those 144,000 during the tribulation, they're going to proclaim redemption news. But my, before rapture and before a seven-year tribulation, we must proclaim. Look at this text. And they, the 144,000, sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Here are these martyred saints. They stand before the four beasts, the cherubim and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Oh, how they loved to proclaim it, how they were redeemed by the grace of God. If we've been saved, we've been redeemed, then we must love to proclaim it. I love this psalm by Fanny Crosby. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am. What a powerful text she gave to us on this theme of the necessity of redemption being proclaimed. There are many promises associated to this doctrine of redemption. It's a big topic. There's an aspect of redemption that relates nationally to Israel. And during the tribulation, especially nearer to the end, the Gospel of Luke states this, and when these things begin to come to pass, when you see these things happening, you see these signs being fulfilled, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. This is a national deliverance. We're Romans chapter 11, verse 26, where the Apostle Paul says, there will be a time in the future where the nation of Israel, that surviving remnant, will be redeemed. When we draw nigh to that at the end of the tribulation, they are to look up, for the redemption draweth nigh as a nation, as they trust Christ as their Messiah, trust Jesus as their Messiah. The benefits of redemption are many. Spiritually, we're justified, declared righteous by His grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There are other promises that relate to redemption in the physical body. We look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus. When He comes, redemption will be complete for us who know Christ. Look at these verses here as it relates to redemption themes regarding the body and glorification. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of what? Our body. Which is the earnest. Here the Holy Spirit plays the pledge and the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's our body, unto the praise of His glory. And we are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption for us is the rapture, when we will be glorified. And redemption is completed in that regard. Many promises regarding redemption. When I take these wonderful themes our group has put together, the end result, the transformational truth, is that we should respond to worship the Lord and praise Him. I'll just read a few verses here, and we'll close in prayer. But hopefully you can join the Lord in praise this morning for a number of reasons. We see here, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I love the last song that the folks sang this morning. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. We praise Him because He lives. We praise Him because He will rule in the millennium. We praise Him because He will rule throughout the eternal ages. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We praise Him because He's our strength. And then remember that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. We praise Him because He is our rock. Proverbs 23, verse 11. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We praise Him because He is mighty. We praise Him because He helps poor worms such as we. The Redeemer is to be praised for a number of reasons. We praise Him because He's the eternal Son of God. We praise Him because He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. We praise Him because there's no other God to praise than Him. We praise Him because He gives thirsty sinners freely eternal life. Isaiah especially speaks much of the Redeemer. In these verses, we praise Him because He made us. We praise Him because He made all things. He's the Creator of the universe. We praise Him because He's the Lord of the armies of heaven. We praise Him because He's the Holy One. We praise Him because He teaches us how to live a profitable, purposeful, meaningful life. We praise Him because He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We praise Him here in these verses because He's faithful. We praise Him because He's chosen us. We praise Him because He's our heavenly bridegroom. We praise Him because He's a sovereign King of the whole earth. And finally, we praise Him. Isaiah 54, verse 8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Redeemer, the Lord thy Redeemer. We praise Him because He's kind. We praise Him because He's merciful. We praise Him because He forgives us. We praise Him because He's our Redeemer and our Savior. And really the ultimate question is He your Savior and Redeemer? Isaiah 59:20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is a promise to Israel. I think it links in with the Romans 11 passage. And unto them that turn from transgression and Jacob, saith the Lord. The way one accepts Christ, the way one repents of sin and transgressions, the one who calls upon the Lord in faith to save them, then has a Savior and a Redeemer. And His name is Jesus. Is He your Redeemer? And is He your Savior? What a wonderful message our folks gave to us this morning in song. And they will come in just a moment and sing and conclude our service. But this morning, is Christ your Redeemer? What a rich theme in the Scriptures. I had a friend, many of you are aware of my stories about Slow Joe. I told you I've only been to a pawn shop twice to sell anything. I didn't sell golden chains for my family's heirlooms. But when I was a young teenager, 17 years of age, Joe and I got in a lot of trouble real quick one morning. We felt that the damage that we did required us to run away. And run we did. We ran from Pennsylvania all the way to Florida. We had stolen a vehicle. We were hoping to get to the sunny South at about this time of year. The entire trip, it rained, it was very cold, it was nasty. We never did see the sun the entire trip. We got down to Georgia and our monies ran out. And so we got quite innovative to round up some money just to scavenge a life. And I remember going to a pawn shop, I'd never been to one before. And we sold a bowling ball and bowling shoes for a measly few dollars for a meal. I remember going in that pawn shop, and I had no intention to ever go back and redeem that bowling ball. One, it wasn't mine anyway. I could care less about it. But I went there to get some money with the hope of, you know, help. There's no redemption in view at all. On that trip, there was a lady that eventually we would meet, and we asked her for help. Mrs. Rollins was her name. She was very gracious to give us enough money to get to a point where Western Union was forwarding us some money to get back to PA that my parents were sending down. And that dear lady prayed for me. I didn't know until many, many years later. That dear lady prayed for me the next day with her Sunday school class and prayed for my soul to be redeemed. And it may be this morning you need to be saved. You need to be redeemed. And maybe someone's been praying for you. I didn't know until later someone was actually praying specifically for my soul. And that prayer would be answered in time. Thankful the Lord saved me and redeemed me. As I was pastoring in Clemson, years after my salvation experience, we received a strange phone call from Joe. And he wasn't asking if he could visit us. He was telling us he would visit us. In fact, he was on the bus en route. And he had all of his earthly belongings with him, including a large TV, I think some dumbbells, and there was a lot of dumbbells when we were all together. And he had maybe a couple of other trinkets, and that was all he had to his name. Joe hadn't gotten saved yet. Joe was pretty strung out on cocaine at this point and wanted to be with us. And I didn't have the confidence for him to stay in our house. He was very dangerous. He had just gotten out of jail and been in and out for a number of reasons. And so we made arrangements at the Wellborn house. With 11 commandments given to him, 10 from God and 1 from us. And if he broke any one of them, he had to leave. He broke all 11 of them as he was ministering at the Tiger Town Tavern and telling all the people as he was getting drunk about his dear pastor friend and how they needed to visit our church. He did a great job evangelizing there for us. But he came back really drunk, and we said, Joe, this just isn't going to work. And I'll take you anywhere on the planet Earth tomorrow. We'll leave. Anyway, you just pick the place. I will drive you there. And so Joe picked Daytona. I thought that was ironic. Our first time we had run away together, it was Daytona was the goal, Florida. Nothing had changed for him. Nothing had changed, and he just wanted to get to Florida. I said, okay, I'll take you there tomorrow. We'll go. And it was really interesting because he had no money. All he had was a TV and some dumbbells and a couple trinkets. I said, Joe, look, I'm going to do all I can to help you, but I'm not carrying that stupid TV from here to Daytona. And let's go to a pawn shop. We went to the Clemson pawn shop. And for the second time in my whole life, went to a pawn shop to sell something. And we did. Now, I had no intention to go back 30 days later and redeem that TV. But as I drove him down to Florida, it was just so obvious. You know, there go I. There go I apart from redemption. There go I. If God hadn't intercepted my life by the grace of God, and if he hadn't saved me, redeemed me, there go I. The whole way down. It was just obvious. And folks, this morning, many of you are redeemed, and I'm so thankful for that. And you're going down a great path. And it's a narrow path, and you've been saved by grace. But it could be this morning, you're not yet redeemed, you're not yet forgiven of your sins. May I encourage you, the Lord values you in that he made you, and you are made in his image. Although a fallen image now because of sin, but you're made in the image of God. And he wants to redeem you from your sins and restore the image. He wants to redeem you, and you are more valuable than a bowling ball or a TV set. You are precious in that regard, that you're made in the image of God. And you are valuable in this regard, that Jesus, when he died, gave his ransom for many. And then Paul extends it beyond many, where he gave himself a ransom for all. He, the Lord, died for you. And he paid the ransom through his precious blood when he died on the cross. And he rose again the third day. And now he reaches out to you, and he wants to redeem you. And he wants to intercept your life. And you need to repent and believe the gospel. I'm going to close in prayer and then ask our guests to come and conclude as we've discussed. But if you've never been redeemed, would you this morning trust the Lord as your Savior? Here's a template. A prayer doesn't save you. Words repeated doesn't save you. You're saved by faith. You're saved by faith in Christ. And when you cry out to him to be your Redeemer, he'll redeem you. He'll save you. He's ready and quick to forgive. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who's going down life's road and has not yet been redeemed, purchased by the blood of Christ, restored to fellowship with the Creator, Lord, I pray that you'd extend mercy and grace and save them. Lord, I just pray for anyone here that needs you. Lord, draw them by cords of love. May they respond to your love. May they be truly born into the family of God. Lord, thank you for this morning, how good you've been to us. Thank you for this group. Send them on their way with your blessing and protection. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.